and how we take His Word and apply it to our lives. And then when we do sing to one another, are we just drawn away and by the things that's happening that today, or watching a child as they misbehave on the next pew, or, you know, drawn our thoughts away from what we're saying and vowing and worshiping God with and praise to Him, and not having our minds set. We do that with the Lord's Supper. We are supposed to examine ourselves. We're supposed to do that in order to proclaim our faith in Him. And we're supposed to be doing that with the songs that we sing to the Lord. And examine ourselves. And if there's something that we don't understand about the song, we need to find out. And that's what we sort of been looking at some, in some of the words and some of the things that we sang all the time, and what that really means, and what that means to our daily lives. So, we're talking today about Blessed Assurance. One of our great songs, it's number 4 in your song book or in the back of your packet. But let's, in Hebrews 10, the song is taken, the writer gave a little note up there. But, you know, sometimes we have to remember that these writers of a lot of these songs were written in the 1800s by people who were of the Calvinistic view, but so often, nonetheless, they have truth. They're of truth. They're in accordance with what the Holy Spirit has revealed, and we as Christians can have this blessed assurance. And I wanted us to look at this song today. So in Hebrews 10, verse 4, Pat, would you read Hebrews 10, 4, 10, and 22? Hebrews 10, 4.
For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins.
10?
By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ once for all.
And then verse 22.
Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
Here the writer of Hebrews in chapter 10 is having us look to the sacrifice of Jesus as better than the sacrifices of the Old Testament. And then he goes into being the high priest. And since we have the blood of Jesus, which is the perfect sacrifice to cleanse us from our sins, and as a high priest over his house, we can in full assurance have in faith and trusting go before the throne of God. Not only in prayer, you know, I think this includes not only prayer, but in trusting Him as we go to Him. Jesus' blood keeps on cleansing as we repent of those things, and we can be confident of those things as we look to Christ as the perfect sacrifice and our high priest. And we can go before God in that assurance. So, in Psalm 145... let's go over there, 17 through 21. Allison, would you read, if you'd like, Psalm 145, 17 through 21.
The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless His holy name forever and ever.
Okay, what a wonderful passage to talk about how God not only hears our prayers, but hears our cry before Him. He knows our needs. He knows our sufferings. And when we go in prayer, or when we're out in the world trying to live the lives that He would have us to live, the Lord is there watching, and He will listen to us, and He will answer those things. We cannot pretend before God. We can't say things we don't mean. You can't have pretense before God. So the things that we say to Him, the things that we pray to Him, we should be from the heart, sincere, and according to His will. And so we're going to look at some of that. I ask you on your lesson, what does the phrase, because in our song there, in number 4 in your song book, or in your lesson, okay, back in the back, it says, blessed assurance. We begin with that. What does that mean? Anyone, what does that mean to you when you say those words before the throne of God? What's it mean? Yes.
Confidence.
Confidence.
That's what it's referring to.
Yes. What else does someone put?
God keeps His promises.
God keeps His promises. Confidence in God's promises. What else?
Complete assurance that we are in His bond.
Complete assurance. Okay. Very good. Anyone else? All right. Blessed. Blessed can mean happy or prosperous, favored, to be extolled, or possessor of that which is highly praiseworthy. Assurance, like you said, unwavering confidence, firm persuasion, full trust, free of doubt. This assurance is about the spiritual prosperity. Words from God that we can count on. Words that we can be confident in good times and in bad times. Words that give us hope to endure, strength to endure, a way to endure. We can have full assurance. And then we say, Jesus is mine. What are you saying? You know, anybody can say, well, you know, I love Jesus is, you know, in my heart. No. What does the children of God mean when they say, and when we sing, Jesus is mine? What are you saying?
He's our ruler. He's our master.
Anyone else? Does that mean He's just like a little doll that you carry around, you know, and you cling to it when you want it and you throw it aside, you know, when you don't want it? Yes?
He's the Lord of our lives, which means we put His name on and we live for Him.
That's right. He's my Savior. He's my King. He's my Lord of my life. Now, when we're saying that, how does that do we say it? We mean it when we say it. How does it reflect, though, in our daily approach to our lives? That's the hard part. We say, Jesus is mine. We even sing, He's my friend. He gave His life for me. He knows me better than anyone else. He's always there for me. He'll always listen to me. Do we take advantage of this great being who loves me so much that when we say Jesus is mine, that when we talk about further in the song here, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Okay? And then, what are the blessings? I wanted you to go through the song, and of course, Ephesians 6, the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1 gives and lists the blessings we have in Christ. Jesus is mine means that we are His. Yes, He's mine, but He's my Lord, my King. We belong to Him. And Ephesians 1, as we all are familiar, are all those spiritual blessings that are in Christ. But here, Fanny Crosby, our lady from the past that we have studied because she's written so many words in this songbook, wrote this song also. Of course, she was a Methodist at the end, you know, and she was believed in the direct operation of the Holy Spirit and all that as she was coming through the Reformation time. And so, but in this blessed assurance, what are the blessings mentioned throughout the song and from, you know, that come from belonging to Christ by His mercy, by being His? What did y'all, some of you find in the song?
Salvation.
Heir of salvation. Purchase of God. How does that make us feel when we sing this song to ourselves, to edify us, and to each other? You know, we're telling each other, you know, reminding each other, we're purchased by God. We're heir of salvation through Him. Again, Margaret, what else?
No, I was going to say, just washed in His blood.
Yes, washed in His blood. Born of His Spirit. What does that mean? We're not going to look at what Fanny might be thinking about. Let's talk about what, because we know her Calvinistic background. Let's look at what the Holy Spirit says. What, born of His Spirit. What's that mean? We sing it. By the work and working of the Holy Spirit to bring about this plan of salvation, if we give our hearts to it, you know, then we're purchased by God. We become that heir, okay? Recipient of His mercy and love is another thing in there. We have peace with God, and we talk about this foretaste of glory divine. And so, you know, like I said, when you're in your private study, every now and then, be sure to go over to the book of Ephesians and read with reverence and with prayerful thanksgiving the words that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church there to give them confidence and to let them not grow weary in doing good, to endure the onslaught of the devil and the world that they lived in at the time. So, now, any other thoughts about the blessings that we have that are mentioned that we can have assurance of? We don't have to doubt, but it all depends on that one little phrase, Jesus is mine. If He's not yours, if He's not Lord of your life, if you're not striving every day to make the changes for Him to be King of your life, to bring glory to His name, then, as in Matthew 7, when Jesus got around to talking to those people who said, Lord, Lord, and they weren't doing what He said, they were lost. So we have to keep in view Jesus as Lord, having this assurance. And when we do fail Him, having the heart of repentance, having the humbleness and not having pride that will keep us from saying, I was wrong, I need to change something, and having the resolve to change it and go to God in prayer, having the assurance He will forgive. First John talks about that. Because Jesus' blood keeps on cleansing. Okay, any words before we go to the second verse? Okay, verse 2 and 3 say perfect submission. Perfect delight. Who and what are we talking about? What does it mean when we say perfect submission, perfect delight? What? Okay, just to throw out there, does everyone have perfect submission and, you know, perfect delight all the time? No. No. Let's sort of work through it, if I may. If it means one submitting to God perfectly, being His perfect delight to the highest level, completely, wholly, without fail, without spot, without blemish, it has to be talking about Jesus. because he perfectly submitted. He was God's perfect delight. We can read many verses that he was faithful to him over his house, talking about Jesus. Jesus became, Philippians 2 talks about Jesus becoming obedient even to death on the cross, exalted by God, given the name above all names. We can read many passages that talk about Christ. His food was to do the word of God, John 4. And when his priestly prayer in John 17, he was saying, I have completed the work that you have given me. Now glorify me as you, you know, as of the glory that I had before I come to earth. So, that would be Jesus. But if, and you know, God told Christ at his baptism, at his transfiguration, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. He was delighted with him. He pronounced from heaven that he was. But let's consider another. That is all true. That is what it's based on. Okay? Second thought. God's perfect plan for salvation. Nothing compares to it. It is, nothing is greater than. Nothing will do what that perfect plan will do in view of our salvation and given us peace and joy. Therefore, maybe cause and effect. Maybe it's one's submitting, not perfectly, being perfect, but because this is a perfect plan and instituted and brought about by God, by Christ's perfect obedience, this perfect plan, by us submitting to it, like I say, there's nothing greater in the world that we could substitute for that. And the joy, what about the joy that we get from obeying this perfect plan? If you have other thoughts that we can understand better, this perfect, you know, submission, perfect delight, because it talks about then visions of rapture burst on my sight. This is the perfect plan. This is the great joy that gives us hope for the perfect visions of what we will have in heaven. But we can have this peace on earth that surpasses all understanding. Let's read Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 23. Emily, would you care to read today? Okay, Hebrews 10. Start with 19 through 23.
Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God.
Through 23.
Let us draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Okay, so that brings it to, you know, the point that we can have confidence in that, we can have hope in that, and by submitting to this, we can have the peace and the joy, the great joy. Let's read chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. And then it goes down, verse 6. Without faith is it impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, the floor is open for other thoughts. You all are great students of the Bible. We're here to learn how to better serve our Lord. And in our song service, did someone in their study have something to say about what they come up with about perfect submission, perfect delight?
Yes, I
Anyone? Okay. Yes.
I didn't pre-study, but I was thinking about this. Whenever I have not wanted to submit to God, for example, not submitting to my husband, when I do, the blessings that come from that are even more than I could imagine. And I'm always reminded how God's plan is perfect and His way is the only way. And He, in His wisdom, He has given us everything we need to know so that on earth we can enjoy the blessings in Christ. And then we have that hope.
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking about.
Very true. And the result of, you know, trusting in God's plan and for the answers in all aspects of life. And when we don't, and we get back to God's Word and the peace that it brings us, and like you say, the wisdom that He has, and that the results from following His is so much better than anything that we could come up with or that man has ever come up with or ever will come up with. Okay, so any other thoughts? In verse 3, it says, I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. Okay, so what should I be busy doing because I am filled with His goodness, and am I lost in His love? Is that the controlling thing of my life? We're not just out there groping in the darkness. That's that loss that it's talking about. It's talking about completely being enveloped by it, meaning the most important thing to us. And so here we are, and what does it say we should be? And what have we studied from God's Word, the kind of people of God we should be? What did you put down? Is the first thing you found happy? How about joyous people? Is God's people supposed to be a joyous people? Or do we just walk around with doom and gloom? Are we giving thanks enough? Do we find something in a really bad day to be happy about or to thank God joyously for? Or we might even say, God, thank You for this trial today, because by trusting Your will, I was able to grow by it. You know, we talked about in James where you're tested sometimes, but if you are trained by it, you endure. So, you know, joyous, happy people. We sing that to each other. We sing that to God. And then, watching and waiting, looking above. So, what's watching? Diligently guarding, protecting my faithfulness, making sure my soul is right with God, using the armor, Ephesians 6, that God supplies us with in other passages to ward off the devil's schemes. You know, Peter tells us to be on the guard, to watch out. The devil's out there as a roaring lion trying to get us. Are we watching? Are we looking and discerning ourselves and examining ourselves and making those changes? Are we watching out for our soul? And two, you know, as brethren, are we watching out for someone else? Maybe helping them to be better? So, watching, guarding, waiting. That's my hardest part. Waiting. To rest with patience is what that word means. We don't have the patience. We want it right now, and God do something about it. Or, you know, I'm doing the best I can, and why isn't something changing? And so to rest with patience, with eager expectation. You see, we get back to this this thought of assurance and how that applies to our even waiting for the providence of God, or waiting for the answer to our prayer with trusting hearts. Okay? And so as we look at that, we wait. Let me turn the page. Sometimes we get overwhelmed. We have anxiety to build up. And, you know, the Bible talks about that. Ephesians 4 is one of my favorite passages on that. Let's turn over Philippians, if I said Ephesians. Okay, Philippians 4. We all know the passage. But we need to remind ourselves often. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Here's this thanksgiving again. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Here's this peace. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See that little phrase? He is mine. I am his. We have to keep the relationship in Christ Jesus. That's one of the many blessings that we have only in Jesus, that came and obeyed the Father perfectly to bring it about so that I may have this. So, we have this confidence, and so we wait patiently, especially to answer to prayer. And then we have to pray for the wisdom to know that God, and we're confident God's going to answer our prayer, but do we accept what God has said in his prayer with all confidence that he's loving, he's all wise, he knows us, and he wants what's good for me? How do I know that? Because he tells me so. Okay? And we're going to look at some passages here in a minute about that. If we get to the prayer. And I think we will. Just a few minutes. So, looking above. This comes back to this endurance and into confidence again. Trusting in God's wisdom to guide us. Love, no matter what this life brings. Trusting in his promises. This life may not afford us a heaven on earth. We all know that. But if we're faithful to him, if we look for him to be Lord of our lives every day, the promises to the faithful is far more better than anything this earth has to offer. So, hope for eternal salvation. Hope for that eternal life with him forever. We're looking above, but not just heaven, but looking at the promises, looking and trusting to God and his providence, and letting it, you know, give us peace in our lives. Sorry, Elizabeth. Okay. So, any other thoughts about that? I have some verses here we can read, but I think we've covered some with that. Remember, 2 Peter 3 talks about heaven. We will read that one. 2 Peter 3, 9-13. It's important to read this one. Caroline, would you like to read 2 Peter 3, 9-13, please? Speak up, please.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come, as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. But the earth and the works that are in it shall be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be holy conduct in God? Looking for the hastening and coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
Okay, so see, that great hope that we have, he has promised. So trusting in that. Okay, what do I say in number six there? What do I say and hopefully mean I should be doing all the day long? From the song. It's the chorus. This is my story, this is my song, and what did you say? Praising my Savior all the day long. Not just when we hit the pew on Sunday morning. And it's not really talking about 24/7. Don't you think it's an overview of attitude and approach to God and our resolve every day to praise Him? You know, it's not just have a blessed day, praise God. You see people even on the street, praise God. You know, every time somebody says something, praise God. You know, not saying that that might not be okay, but that's not, I don't think, what this is talking about. That you go around just muttering, praise God, or, you know, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, all day long in words. It's, to me, is an overall attitude of mind, resolve to give Him honor and praise all day long, praising my Savior. Whatever comes, we find something in that to either make our heart be quickened, or may resolve to change, or, you know, something about the day, throughout the day, to praise Him. If it's just even a word of comfort to somebody, you know, that's bringing glory to God. Something that we can do every day to do that, whether it's teaching our children about Jesus, or when we are disciplining them because they're not doing right and Jesus wants us to behave this way. Praising God, giving glory to Him, and using His word in our lives and in our teaching. Any thoughts on that? You can disagree. Okay. So, do we sing these words? And this is just many, many songs that we have gone over and have looked at on the side there. Do we say these words? Like, for instance, I gave in class, we're not going to look at this because I don't want to take the time, but Jesus is wonderful. We sang this song, page number 50 in your song books. Jesus is wonderful. He's my Savior divine. He is mine. He's the one I love. He's my King and Lord. We sing that all the time. Do we mean it? How does it affect our lives? The solid rock, talking about this assurance. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood, so forth. Solid rock, you know. And so, where's our hope? Where's our trust? Where's our strength lie to overcome the world? We have an anchor. That's another song we sing. 496. Fastened to the rock that will not move. We sing that. Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. That's our anchor. He's the rock. We should have this assurance. We should have the boldness to live for Christ no matter what. Trust and obey speaks for itself. all the little kids in the little classes learn, you know, it's trust, but in trusting, you obey because you trust what God says is right. Any other thoughts before we move on to the next song, just briefly? Psalm 71. I'm finishing with these two songs. God answers prayer today, and there's a great day coming. Judgment's the last. The great day is coming. But we're studying songs in this little section that builds faith. That assurance and everything should help us build faith and confidence. God answers prayer today. Psalm 71 in your book. We pray for strength that our desires may be fulfilled, but weakness comes and humbles us to do God's will. We pray for health, that we can do some greater thing, yet burdens come to Him we always cling. We thank our God for blessings we've received. Oh, what a joy to know He hears when we believe. We do not seek from Him earth's wealth or worldly fame. We seek Him first. We did that, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all His righteousness. We studied that song. In Jesus' blessed name, it's always through Jesus. As days grow short and life begins to fade away, we see God's wisdom as He answers when we pray. Our Heavenly Father knows our every care and need. He knows what's best. His will we must heed. God answers prayers today, but in the wisest way. He knows what's best for us from day to day. We sing this with confidence, and we sing it with thanksgiving, or we should, because it is a great, merciful grace and gift that God gives His children. So, let's read 1 John 5. 14 and 15. Sandra, would you read that, please? 1 John 5, 14 and 15.
Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked for Him.
Okay, we're going to take the Holy Spirit's word for it. Song's good, written by a godly man. But the Holy Spirit says, does God hear us when we pray? Does He answer our prayers if we ask according to His will? Yes or no? Yes. We can have that confidence. Okay. Psalm 4:3 says, the Lord hears when I call to Him. Psalm 145 deals with that also, about the Lord is righteous in all His ways. We do not need to doubt that whatever the Lord, and however the Lord answers our prayers, is right. It's righteous altogether for our good. Okay. And then He's kind in all His deeds. He is merciful. He is merciful. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. Psalm 145, verse 19 and verse 18. He will fulfill verse 19 of 145. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will hear their cry and save them. We can have that confidence. Ephesians 3 talks about having boldness and confidence before the throne of God. The Holy Spirit just doesn't leave us, and God the Father and Christ the Son does not leave us just dangling out here in a world of unbelief without an avenue to Him from His Word and by prayer to help us in our journey to heaven. So, Now, does he answer prayers all the time in the way that we like or in what we ask? No. 2 Corinthians 12, Paul had that instance. He prayed three times that the thorn in the flesh would be removed from him. But it wasn't. Did he mouth off to God? No. What was his attitude? Can anybody remember why Paul said that his prayer wasn't answered in the way that he asked?
It was to keep him from being prideful, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Let's look at it. Let's get it exact, because we need to understand, just like the Apostle Paul understood, 2 Corinthians 12, he's dealing with it, 7 through 11. God says to Paul, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." See what insight we can get sometime in that? "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And therefore," he says, "I am content with insults and all these kinds of things." But in verse 7, Paul says, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, as Melissa said, was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself." Now, that's not going to apply us in every case, but I'm here to tell you sometimes the pride thing, it just might be that reason. Or it just might be that we're perfected in weakness, that we can bring more glory to God in an answer that doesn't just, you know, make everything all lovely and make us stronger. Do we always... Okay, we're going to stop there because... And Lord willing, let me ask a question. Is there anyone... I know one's going to be out of town. Amy, do you have something next week that for school that would keep you from being here, or do you know? And if something comes up, it's okay. Let's do, if it's all right with everyone, meet next Wednesday morning and finish the lessons. And as a request, read the last pages, number 4, words that I, at number, number 3, some promises I sing. I listed songs. For instance, "Each day I'll do a golden deed." We promise that to God. "I want to be a worker for the Lord. I'll never forsake my Lord." We're going to talk about that one. "I'm not ashamed to own my Lord." The prayer and song. "Give us Christian homes. Lord, give us Christian homes." Lord, what are we going to do about that? "Take my life and let it be more consecrated, Lord, to thee." All these prayers that we sing, look at over the list, make some notes that you might want to bring up or how you deal with